We lift our hearts to Thee, O God, Thou whose chosen dwelling is the heart that longs for Thee, that humbly seeks Thy face. We turn to Thee in our hour of need, for Thou art our light and life. Thou art our hope and our salvation. We come today with our sins to be confessed, our hopes to be renewed, our minds to be informed, our better purposes to be strengthened, our lives to be reconsecrated to Thy service. Help us to be still and know that Thou art God, that we may hear Thy voice in the classroom, in this chapel, in our relations with each other. We seek Thy presence, Thy blessing, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is my privilege not only today to present our chapel speaker, but also to give welcome to a special group of visitors to our campus in these days. Beginning last evening and continuing today and until noon tomorrow, Southeastern Seminary is hosting, along with the Baptist State Conventions of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia, a tri-state conference for directors of missions. We are meeting in the buffet room. If there's someone that you spot today that you would like to have a conversation with, you will find that person fairly much involved in the program in the buffet room in the Appleby building. We're delighted to have these directors of missions, about 40 of them here, for this special conference. Our speaker today is Dr. Philip Rogerson, who serves as the Director of Missions for the Virginia Baptist General Board with headquarters in Richmond. Phil is a native of Norfolk, Virginia, a graduate of Georgetown College in Kentucky, and then he went to Southern Seminary where he received the BD and THM and finally the PhD degree from Southern Seminary. In talking with Phil about his pastoral experience, I discovered that he's only had two pastorates. One was a student pastorate in Kentucky that spanned 8.5 years because of all those years of grad study there. And from Southern, he moved to Richmond, where he became pastor of the newly formed Bonaire Baptist Church. He was the first pastor of Bonaire Baptist Church in Richmond and served that church for 13.5 years. So he doesn't fit the model of most pastors who are the 2-year church switchers with his 8.5 and 13.5 years experience in these two churches. For the last 16 years now, he has lived on in Richmond and worked with the Virginia Baptist Board in missions and evangelism with the title Director of Missions for the Virginia Baptist General Board. In addition to all of this, he has served as a visiting Fletcher Professor of Missions on our campus. Perhaps some even in this sanctuary have had him as a professor. He is indeed a friend of Southeastern Seminary, and we're glad to have him to be our worship leader for this service of worship this morning.
Thank you, Jerry, and let me say that it's a real joy to be back on campus and a privilege to share in this service with you. Virginia Baptists are indeed very grateful for the influence of this school, a very positive influence that this school has on the religious life of our state of Virginia. Students, faculty, and alumni invest much in the life of the communities and churches in Virginia and on the State General Association staff itself. We have a number of alumni serving there. We're grateful for opportunities like this, where we can come and take advantage of the resources of this school in specialized training. Be assured that we continue to pray for this school, for faculty and students, individually and collectively as a body, as you continue your journey of your pilgrimage, some in preparation and some in life commitment to this institution. One of the most interesting and exciting books published in the last 6 months, in my opinion, is John Naisbitt's book called Megatrends. It's not that these 10 new directions that are transforming our lives, as the subtitle calls it, are really that new, but it's the unique methodology of collecting of the data, the stimulating way in which the truths are packaged in this book, the challenging implications that flow out of these truths that, as he sees it, and to me, perhaps most of all, the exhilarating optimism that permeates the book that impresses and excites me. The Naisbitt Group is the only group in the United States of America that collects its data to establish the trends that are influencing and transforming our lives by reading 6,000 daily newspapers published in this country. Their staff, their group, reads every daily paper published in every city in the United States of America, 100,000 population above, and in every state capital, regardless of the size of its population. It is their thesis that trends start at the grassroots and rise. Only fads start at the top and filter down. This book is written, of course, for corporations and not for churches, and I understand that. It is aimed at the business community, not the religious community. In fact, the few references to the church in the book are mostly negative, with two backhanded compliments towards Southern Baptists indicating that we're not quite as bad off as the other major denominations. But this does not mean that it does not have import and significance to the church in the decade of the 80s. I'd remind you in Matthew, the 16th chapter, in the 3rd verse, that Jesus condemned the religious leaders of his day for not being able to read the signs of the time and profit therefrom. And in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 16th verse, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesians to redeem the time, or as one translation has it, to buy up the opportunity. Naisbitt writes almost with religious fervor as he exhorts the institutions of our day to be able to discern the times and to redeem the time. To me, his challenge is biblical. Now, the thing that perhaps is most exciting to me is the fact that the 10 megatrends, or the 10 new directions that Naisbitt talks about, speaks to the strengths of Southern Baptists. It gives us the opportunity to ride with the trends, rather than in most of our history, we have been bucking the trends. As Naisbitt says, trends like horses are easier to ride in the direction they're already going. And some of these trends match who Baptists are and what we proclaim, whether we practice it or not. Now, we cannot mention all of them, but let me mention 3 or 4 of them. Baptists, with their congregational form of government, can ride with the trend toward participatory democracy. The demand by persons to have a say in the decisions that are made that affect their lives, and not simply accepted from a hierarchy coming down. This, to me, speaks to the strength of Southern Baptists. If boards of deacons do not stifle our democracy in the local church, and if the inerrant messiahs do not succeed in saving us from freedom of expression and of our conscience, then Baptists can ride with this trend toward participatory democracy. Southern Baptists, with more students in their quality theological institutions, will have professional church leadership
that will match the largest single kind of occupation in the information society that is emerging. In numbers already, professionals are second only to clerks in the occupational force of our society. In no way should we neglect the untrained or the unskilled laborer, but the major occupations of the future are going to be professionals. Just as the majority of laborers in the agricultural society were farmers, and the majority of laborers in the industrial society, workers were laborers. Baptists congregate, I guess, as much as any other religious group. In fact, some people have made some cute jokes about not being physically able to be a Baptist because we have so many meetings. But Naismith points out that the more technology we introduce into society, the more people want to be together. They want to congregate. They want to be with other people. He points out that shopping malls are now the third most frequented places in our lives, following home and the workplace. We want to congregate. We want to be together. And Baptists, with their love of meetings of all kinds, can ride with the trend of the high-tech, high-touch society that Naismith talks about if we learn to put quality in our touching. Southern Baptists, under the leadership of Ralph Naber, are developing what they call the touch ministry, which is in keeping with the needs of our society today. Naismith says that we're moving from centralization to decentralization in our society. And Baptists, with their self-governing, autonomous, but interdependent district associations, can ride with the trend of decentralization. The district association is the only denominational entity where the vast majority of laypersons and even the majority of clergy can have meaningful participation in the decision-making in our denomination. Now, if the association, through mission strategy planning, becomes the initiator of mission action, and not simply the receptor of denominational ideas and aid, then to me, the greatest days of the association are before it and not behind it. In my opinion, the association is going to be the low-key of Baptist creativity and leadership, and yes, of our strength in the days that are before us as we ride with the trend of decentralization. Southern Baptists, lastly, Southern Baptists, with their multiplicity of programs, the diversity of their worship styles, and with their extensive pluralism in ethnic congregations, can ride with the trend of the multiple option society that Naismith talks about. He indicates that we're in the midst of a national religious revival. But he makes very clear there's no uniformity or homogeneity in this religious revival. We must provide a variety of options to meet the needs of a diverse and pluralistic society. With each form of worship and religious expression being recognized as wholly legitimate. Time will not permit us to talk about all the trends. And I do not mean to imply that Baptists have it made, that our quote-unquote success is guaranteed. Far from it. I do believe, however, that Southern Baptists have the potential, for perhaps the first time in their history, to lead with their strengths, to ride with the trends that are shaping our future. But there are two big ifs, and I'll call them to your attention. If we do not destroy ourselves by infighting, and if in exploiting these trends successfully, we do not wrongly conclude that our success is of our own doing and lose our souls. Naismith's conclusion could have come straight from the New Testament. He says, and I quote, "We are living in the time of the parentheses, the time between eras, for we are neither here nor there." The stance of the New Testament church when at its best, has always been that we're living in a time of parentheses, that we're neither here nor there. We're between two eras. We are a pilgrim people. This is not our home. We do not know yet what we shall become. The shape of the future is unknown. We see through a glass darkly. Naismith says that the time of the parentheses is a great and yeasty time filled with opportunity. And the very last sentence of his book is an explanation. My God, what a fantastic time to be alive. For the church, for Southern Baptists, what a fantastic time to be alive. May God help us to redeem the time. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to share with one another, for the opportunity to be leaders in such a time as this. Help us, our Father, with the strength of the Spirit of your holy power to be able to buy up the opportunity to be your chosen servants in such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.